Sure, so if folks didn't hear the question, to hopefully sum it up, how are you gentlemen and your organizations working with urban areas or folks who are less privileged than us in this area, and how are we reaching those different communities? Are you focusing on that in any?
Well, we teach our, well, we have different programs where people from all over the country and the world come at Crimpy, and also at sustainable settings, and you have people coming from all over. So we people coming just not from the valley, but to do greenhouses, to do biodynamic workshops, and all the programs that Eden does. So yeah, we do outreach. We bring in, you know, the out, and we work with you know, doing permaculture gardens in the cities as well. Ours is more rural, but there's a whole movement out there sponsoring urban agriculture.
You guys do quite a bit of sponsorship for lower income students as well as trades, so that folks who can't afford to pay for the workshops can come and figure that out in another way.
We usually have a couple of scholarships for Native Americans. So that's one of the things we do offer. So, and we have lots of volunteers, and nobody really is exclusive. If somebody wants to come out and work for free, we have a lot of exchanges, a lot of volunteers that, you know, learn about what we're doing, and also bring in some labor to our endeavor, because you know, it takes a lot of hand work to do agriculture, and we can't really afford to pay somebody $14 an hour or $20 an hour. So we have, and people, Brooks is, and Eden has really brought the community in to their farm, and I do too.
Yeah, so it's an excellent question, and from our standpoint, the focus is really on finding ways to make food more accessible. Currently, our global food distribution model is so broken, which is part of why there's actually no shortage of food. It's a distribution issue that creates these food deserts in these other areas. So our focus is, how can we make local, nutrient-dense, healthy food accessible to everyone? And so we're trialing these systems at the farm, but the bigger premise with the Farm Collaborative is that it will be a global network of individual communities addressing the needs of their particular area and how to best build their food economy. So our concept is, by using this area that has more access to resource, we can help to showcase these projects all over the world once we really get it rolling. So ours is more future-minded, but certainly at the forefront of our planning and thinking.
Lots of examples. We're 21 years old. We've been working with corporations from the beginning, Walmart and what's it called, the burrito joint?
Chipotle
and Frito-Lay. So they've come in the 05, 06 and asked what sustainability was. So we had to cook them a dinner and did some chalkboard work with them, brainstorming. But so there's that level of work, and then there's, which affects a lot of people. I just got back from Brazil. I was there for about a month, and I was brought in on a consult of a large ranch out in the Pantanal, and booked extra time there, and spent a whole week running around working with, you know, this land movement down there. Have you heard of this? In the mid-80s, it's a socialist movement. If you, you know, the what do you call it? The colonial thing, when they just circled hundreds of thousands of acres and named them for themselves. So anyway, all the people who needed land to grow on, they found a glitch in the law. And they've done, we visited a medicinal herb farm that was Ag Village 1 in 1980 set up, and there was up to Ag Village 7. And so these are people that, you know, they squatted, they built enough infrastructure, and they started planting, and they were able to actually gain deed to land. And so some of them are biodynamic, others were not. And so I worked with them on their preparations, and we did some other field work. So given the opportunity, if we are called out, you can bet we're probably going to stretch and try to help others. And so it's not always a direct thing. But I used the 25,000 acre ranch to get me there, and then I did this kind of work. And so we get out there as much as we can. We have gleaning days for the locals that we actually have billionaires come and glean also, but also a lot of others come and glean at the end of the season. You know what gleaning is? So they clean out the crops at the end of the season. So a lot of different things that we try to do, not just if you show up. We go out and do things, work in schools, and consult outside.
Okay, great. Did anyone figure out what gleaning was from that? Gleaning would be a term that's used for folks who are picking up produce for free, either off a farm that has allowed them to come at the end of the season once the sellable produce and the produce that they need to sell to their clients has been sold, then they can open up the farm and folks can just come and pick from the field and take that produce home. So down to you, Brooke, sustainable settings in Carbondale, Colorado. I will let Brooke explain all the details of that organization.
Or some, maybe a little bit.
Okay, can you hear okay? This distance, good. We were artists, and so right now we say that we're perfectly qualified for what we do every day. And so we also say that we have to be careful about what we know. It might get in our way. And so we set up Sustainable Settings 21 years ago because we had just come back from China and we saw the impacts of what that number of people can actually have on the environment. And we're not environmentalists, we are humanists. We're not worried about nature. Nature's gonna kick us out if we don't start behaving better. So we're interested in trying to figure out how do we actually, you know, the burning question was, can human beings actually live on the planet? And then also, what are we capable of? And so Sustainable Settings is basically an experiment in the 10,000-year-old experiment called agriculture. And nobody really knows what they're doing, if they're honest. But we're all trying our best. These guys, all these people here, are on the right track. And things are working. But their systems and our system is based on nature's economy, not on a growth economy, not on Wall Street fleeting little dashes and dots reproducing up here, but in real return, which is the soil. If we don't put back into the soil, we're not gonna have the flavor that's being appreciated by chefs like Barclay, and we're not gonna actually have healthy food, and we're not gonna have our health. We have, we've lost track of that the health in the soil is directly connected to our health, okay? If it isn't in the soil, it's not in our food. Basically, what we all are doing is a big duh. This is the name of my first book, duh. Okay, so, you know, put your cow out on pasture, let them get, you know, sunshine and natural mountain water and eat their natural diet and fucking duh. You're gonna have healthy cows, you're gonna have meat and milk and dairy, and you're gonna have things that actually, you know, are gonna take care of you, and you know, you can cut down, and people say, I'm trying to raise our dozen eggs to $12 because it should be a buck an egg. When you go to a restaurant, how much is an egg? $3. How much is an egg? And we're producing food that is extraordinary, and it's nutrient dense, and it's healing people. Cancer patients are coming to probably all of us, some too late. We only know them 6 months. Others come soon enough and actually turn the corner. We are filters. We are columns of water and light. And if we don't honor that and put good fuel in our systems and in our temples, then we're stupid. And it's cheap food is not going to help us in the long haul. Okay? So we are mission-driven. We're not profit-driven. We need money. I'm looking for $13 million. How much are you looking for?
Five million.
How much are you
looking for? Looking for millions?
He's a cheap day, a couple thousand. But listen, we are building, we are on the ground, these people here, and we're building a community asset. We're building the soil for this community. We're regenerating the fertility bank that has been depleted over the last 70 years. It's a drawdown, and we are ill because the nutrient density isn't in our soil anymore. We are actually building soil and feeding people. Most agriculture is leveling, staying level at best, or declining in the soil life and in the nutrient density. The food in the store doesn't have it. And that's what Barclay came to our place and walked around. He was tasting everything. You know, he's my soil test. So he comes around and he tastes them. He even took us to the hay pile. He said, "You got any hay?" So we, Chef and I, went to the hay and we tasted the five different kinds of hay. And then he made hay ice cream. And it was fabulous. So that's a whole other story. But so flavor is based on what's in the soil. And the chef will tell you, he's had to learn probably from all the purveyors that he has to deal with to really have a restaurant here to make some fancy sauces to cover up the lack of flavor. But when he's using our food, he doesn't have to do that. It's in the food. And that's the stuff that your body needs and wants. And that's that yes that you get when you eat and drink. Come and have a glass of milk. It'll kill you if you ask the health department. It's raw. But come and try our food. All of us, we're all producing something based on an economy that's real and based on return. And you all are in business. I've been in business here 21 years. Jerome, 31, 30 plus. And you're 10 plus. Stephanie?
Seven.
I don't know. How many people have had a business longer than 2 years? How many, keep your hands up, how many have more than five? How many 10? The hands are going down. How many 15? How many 20? Yeah. So we're zealots, okay? We're crazy, we're fools, whatever you want. We're here and we have been bitten by something, a truth. And we know that if we don't do this, we're not gonna make it. If we don't build soil, we will die. Okay? We can do it, and we're doing it. But we gotta concentrate on it, and we gotta fund it in our communities. And these are people here that are, we should bow down to all of them. They are committing their life and their energy to this effort. And if we don't build soil, we're in trouble. Okay? That's enough. We have classes, we have workshops, we have 10,000 visitors a year. Is anybody here from the county?
Ask a question.
I get in trouble. Here. But so we have been so fortunate to find the support here. We came here from China. We had nothing, backpacks from China. We took a 79 Volvo wagon off of our blocks in LA after China. We drove out here. Doug K. Spear at the Anderson Ranch gave us a studio and materials, and we did a body of work. We had a show at the Aspen Museum, and it was during that time that the China trip, which was a whole other story, was sinking in, and we knew we had to do something different. So we totally took a turn in our work, and we knew we had to find a piece of ground and heal it. And so we went over to Woody Creek and we met George Stranahan and Deb Jones and Rick Morrison and these others over there and Mike Stranahan at the Aspen Community School, and they let us be a visiting artist over there after the Anderson Ranch. And it was there that we wrote 6 pages in a budget, and we sat on a boulder with an angel. This is the valley we live in. We sat on a boulder with an angel, and I told him what I needed to do, and he said, "We all need to do this." And he said, "How much money do you need?" And I said, "Well, the first year is 185 grand if we do it here at the school." He said, "The money's in the bank. We all need to do this." I get goosebumps every time I tell that story. And so we've had great support. And Sustainable Settings now owns 244 acres, 5 miles outside of Carbondale. And we are cleaning it up and we are preserving it. And now the USDA and the NRCS is coming to us because they've been doing soil tests on our place for the last 4 years, and they are astounded. They want to know, what are you doing? Because the soil life is climbing. and we are feeding our community, and we are also sending now medicinals out in a 200-mile radius to help heal in a greater circle, and we're also sending the biodynamic preparations, which are land therapies, out across from New York to California and Canada to Mexico to help heal other farms. So once we got this healthy here, we've been able to heal a lot of other places. Okay. Yeah.
Just a quick question. KDNK Radio, where I work, has the benefit of a few donated dozens of eggs from Susti each year during our membership drive, and then our volunteers prepare breakfast and feed our volunteers with those. So I know how good the eggs are. What can people get a dozen of your eggs? Is that something that can be done? I mean, do people need to be involved in sustainable settings in order to eat the food? How does that work?
Well, we're not a large producer, so if you want eggs, you better get them before 9 a.m. Get the day's harvest. But, you know, we talk about our milk's $20 a gallon, and people go, holy shit, that's expensive. You know? And I go, well, do you like beer? And they go, yeah. Well, how much you pay for a beer? $5, $6. How many beers are in a gallon? Six, you know, an ounce, or what do they call it, a pint, right? They don't even know, there's 8 pints. So they do the math, it's 4 times 8, and they go, shit, I'm paying $40 a gallon for beer. I go, yeah, so is my milk expensive? They go, no, shit. And so the other thing is, we have all economic levels coming for food. We've had a kindergarten teacher come for the last 5 years and buy one chicken at $6.50 a pound, so like a $40 chicken. She buys one once a week, and she eats on it all week, and she's healthy. What's that worth? How many people taking meds? Don't raise your hand. How many people have had to deal with chemo? Let's not, take care of this now. Pay now. You're going to pay one way or another. Okay, you're going to home you.
When Jillian said that these gentlemen each had 8 minutes, we were joking that maybe we needed, what did you call it, Brooke? The hook that we would grab your neck?
Shepherd's crook.
The shepherd's crook, so cut them off. So we're gonna open it up to bigger questions for anyone or for all these gentlemen together, if anyone has any.
Okay, let's put it this way. If the crap that we get at the grocery store and most restaurants is a zero, and Brooke, what you were just talking about is a 10. Where is organics in there?
There we go. There we go. Okay. Organic was taken from us as a term when the USDA co-opted it, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago, something like that. It actually meant something before. Once the government got a hold of it and standardized it for the big producers, basically, the standard was lowered. Now, organic is better than conventional chemical. So as a consumer, it's okay. Biodynamic is a much stricter standard. And that's why we decided to go with that. It's the most rigorous standard we know of as far as the certification. So as consumers, this is a really important thing. Where do you get real food? I would say try to buy from local people, local producers. Even if they are chemically laden, or even if they are using monocropping or other industrial techniques, you can look them in the eye and say, listen, I would buy more of your food. I'm going to buy some for this week, but I would buy a lot more food if you were more organic. So we are all part of this change, and so our purchasing dollar and our, is really powerful. What you fill your bellies with and your fridges with is important. What the chefs are bringing in and exposing people to is incredible and very important to the shift. We're all here trying to drive a shift in the culture. And so, am I answering your question?
So would it be a 3, a 5, or a 7?
Well, you wanted a number.
Yeah, how good or bad is it?
Well, it depends, because organic doesn't mean nutrient dense. You know I'm gonna butcher, I'm gonna get in trouble here. What's that called, the lettuce? Earthbound organic, the lettuce that's in the store. A friend of mine is a financial advisor for this woman who's doing using her money in brilliant ways, and she just bought some land, and it was under the Earthbound had the lease on it. They had a 1-year, 2-year, and 5-year lease, and they they looked into the legal aspects of getting them off the place right away, but it was just the advice, the legal advice was to just let the leases run out. And so the first year and the second year leases ran out, and then they did soil tests on what they were growing in, and it was 0.5% organic matter. My pastures are almost 6%. And the acre we grow lettuce on is 10.5 to 11% organic matter. That's nutrient density. They are putting lettuce out into the market that is based on 0.5% organic matter. And this is an organic, certified organic product. So even that's not the answer. You have to know, and you have to, unfortunately, do your research.
Maybe it's a 5. Does anyone else have any questions?
Maybe it's a 2.
So the commercial kitchen will have 3 functions, well, a lot more functions, but 3 primary functions. The first is educational programming, which will address exactly what you're talking about. The second is food processing and farm-to-table meals, which is about food access and about community building. And then the third is business incubation. So bringing in individuals, someone wants to start a salsa company, a preserves company, maybe a jams company, they'll have a space to do that. As many people know, kitchens in Aspen are not cheap, and we're losing a lot of entrepreneurs in the Valley because there's not a lot of resources for them to be able to stay here. So by having a shared kitchen that's available on an hourly basis at an affordable rate, it makes a big difference in keeping our entrepreneurs here and creating more industries with healthier food like Brooke talked about. In terms of when, we're in a capital campaign right now. We just hit the 30% mark of our $4.385 million goal. So when we raise that, we will be able to break ground. We still have to go through some permitting processes. If the community stands up and really helps us out, we think we'll be able to get the ground broken as soon as late 2019.
Brooke, are you farming or growing hemp or ready for CBD production?
That's still not legal in our book. I can't put the gift of the ranch at risk. We are making preparations that are being used in CBD production. Raise your hand over there. Authentic, Don's company is doing that, and they're using our preparation, the biodynamic preparations, things like that. And you're Demeter certified now? Okay. It is pronounced Demeter, it doesn't matter. But you can say Demeter if you want, it's okay. But we're not, and...
Are you involved in lobbying for that at all?
We've hosted kind of hemp workshops and things like that, but we don't feel... It's not federally legal yet, really, and even though it is state, I would never put that 244 acres at risk, which, you know, given... I don't want to get into the administration. But you know, just never know who's in power and what's going to happen. We support it.
In your gift bags that are in the front of the lobby tonight, Don's company, Authentic Hemp Company, is out in Hotchkiss, all biodynamic and organic hemp. There's a little settle salve in there. Definitely in the mixing and mingling time that's about to follow, pick her brain if you have any questions specifically about organic or biodynamic hemp in Colorado.
One last quick question.
Sure.
Stephanie, can you just talk a little bit more about Dynamic Roots and Biodynamic Botanicals? We kind of got just quick little summary of what you do, but I think you know, in this room of brilliant people, I'd like to know more about your work as well.
Thank you. So the tea that's out today is from Dynamic Roots. A lot of those herbs were grown out of sustainable settings through Biodynamic Botanicals. Dawn and I started Dynamic Roots quite a few years ago, really just teaching folks how to make medicinal products themselves, how to make their own cough syrup, how to make their own tea, how to grow herbs, which grow fabulously in this climate, and really how to empower themselves to heal themselves. And we did that out of sustainable settings up at Crimpy. We've taught different workshops for a little while, and then lots of moms at school just kept asking, okay, well, that's fine, but now can I just like have some cough syrup? Because I don't really have time to make it. And so the product line kind of bloomed out of that idea. So we've been in the Valley for quite a while, really just working around with different schools and different organizations, helping to bring health back to folks, but also the empowerment of just the history. We've been taking care of ourselves through plant medicine for a very, very long time. And these are beautiful plants that grow so well, and we've been really glad to be able to be a part of that in this valley and work with all these fine gentlemen through the years.
Well, you know, growing herbs on a farm or any kind of a community garden is just another yield. We've been growing and tincturing herbs for 20 years. We have some samples on the table that are for sale. And seed saving is another, education is another yield. So we can't just grow vegetables and sell them at the market. So all of us are involved in all those different micro enterprises on the farm. There are opportunities that nobody really saw. You know, vegetable garden could be saving seeds and selling those in the fall, making a whole other small income. We sell herbs. We value add you know, salves as well, and we value add our nursery by putting special, you know, grafting special varieties onto hardy rootstock. So just localizing everything and turning everything into sort of micro businesses instead of just selling vegetables. And you can store things. I have a year of fruit in my freezer still. And so we have smoothies every day from last year's fruit that was frozen.
Stealing it.
Do it quick.
Sure,
quick. Okay. So I just want to speak for everybody on the panel. Please come and visit Crimpy and Botanicals and Sustainable Settings and Farm Collaborative, aka Aspen Tree. Oh, previously known as. But we're open to the public. We're here to really help fuel awareness and the shift in our eating and our health and in the regeneration of soil, all of us. So please come see us. We're just a short flight past the roundabout, for those of you who do drop in from LA and New York. So come, you know, just drive past the airport a little bit and come see us.
Thank you.